Good morning, everybody. Well, we're going to try that again. Good morning, everybody. Ah, much better. This side better than this side, just so you know. Thank you. Let's stand together for our call to worship. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is God's faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The Lord is our inheritance. Therefore, we will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. Lord, we love You and are grateful for Your never-ending love and provision. Let us worship the Lord together. Standing as you are able as we sing our hymn of praise.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, You who are sovereign over all and yet reachable at all times, You sent Your only Son that we may know and love You just as You know and love us. All You ask is that we come humbly on bended knee to seek Your guidance and direction. You are always there, always available, ready and waiting for us to come to You in prayer and supplication. You are our God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-caring. Thank You for who You are in our lives. Lord, we often fall short of your desires for us. We stumble and fall, and now we lay down our sins before you at the foot of the cross in the name of Jesus. We ask you for forgiveness of our sins, which we now bring before you. In your words is found in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Lord, we also ask you to be with and over our leaders. May they humbly seek your will and your desires for our community, our nation, and for our world. Help us to be more like Jesus, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, we also ask you to be with all those in our church family with the unspoken requests. You know what they are. We ask for healing for those who are sick or infirmed or recovering from surgery. Be with those families who have lost a loved one. Give them your comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. We ask for wisdom for the doctors of those facing surgery or a clear diagnosis of an illness. God, be with them. We give you thanks and praise in all the things that you do for us each and every day. We now come to you as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Before you take a seat, would you just turn to the people around you and bless them in the name of Christ this morning? You can be seated. Have a seat. I have such power and authority. Be seated. Stand up. Be seated. I enjoy reading the screens that go through about the praise and Thanksgiving prayers and stuff. And I love the one particularly said, "Thank you, Lord Jason is back." Or maybe it said, "Thank you, Lord Jason is back." Or maybe that's... It is good to have you back, my friend. So we're continuing on this Sunday and next Sunday with our theme about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, is what the disciples said to him. And hopefully you've been learning, discovering not just new methods or ways to prayer, but the heart of prayer. And that you've been implementing some of the things we've been talking about. I know some of you took to heart about the need to fast this past week, but you weren't supposed to tell me that you're fasting. Nobody's supposed to know. No, I'm kidding. Nobody did. That's all right. They put it on Facebook, though. So I just want you to know I'm fasting for the Lord this week. So if I'm a bit grumpy, you'll know why. This morning, we're now going to go over to Luke 11, where Jesus again teaches the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to talk about the Lord's Prayer again. We're going to start right after that. And so if you want to turn or look and follow along, Luke 11, beginning at verse 5, going all the way through verse 13. "And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Almighty God, I do ask that you would teach us how to pray. That you would put a desire within our heart to ask and to seek and to knock. To trust that you are a loving God, a heavenly Father who cares for us and who delights in us and who wants to give to us the desires of our hearts. So Lord, draw us closer to you, speak to us, whisper into our souls, transform us and change us by your written word so that we continue to grow and become more like the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the what and why of praying persistently. What that means, what that looks like, but more importantly, why we need to persist in our prayers. And the first point of my 2 points today is we pray with persistence because God knows what we need. At the beginning of Luke 11, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, not as a manual, not as a script, not something to then recite word for word, but to help increase their heart for prayer. And then he gives them a story about a neighbor who goes to a friend and knocks at midnight. And the story is about the man who is persistent in getting what he needs. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Jesus then bookends with another story about giving gifts to your children. We'll talk about that later. But I want us to start with the very middle section where Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Literally, he is saying, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. There's a sense of persistence in our coming before God. He's not telling us this is how you pray, but he says, you, with faith, trusting that your God loves you and knows what you need, keep going before him. Keep coming into his presence. Keep calling upon him. Keep crying out to him. Be persistent in your prayers. Not so that we then get what we want after we have badgered God, but so that in our persistence, God, by the Holy Spirit, will show us what he has to give us. You see, Matthew, we looked at a couple of weeks ago, in Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You see, that makes me wonder, why pray at all? If God knows what I need before there's even a word spoken in my tongue, why do I even have to pray? Prayer is about developing this relationship, not about me getting what I want. Prayer is in its purest form coming before God and putting everything out there before him, trusting that he knows which one is best for me. Trusting that he knows even if I ask for what I want, he is such a loving God that he will give to me what I need. But it takes persistence to exactly know how we're supposed to pray in the way that we want to pray. In fact, in 1 John 5:14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything," you see, nothing is too big or too little for God, "if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Well, how do we know we're praying according to God's will? Does it mean I have to say the right words? Does it mean I have to be in the right posture? No, it just says, ask anything. If your heart is in the right place, if your motive is pure. James says, you do not get because you don't ask. But when you ask and you don't receive, it's because you're asking to be given what you selfishly desire, to spend on your own needs. In a persistent prayer, we're telling God, this is what I want. This is what I sense. In the purest form, these are my prayers. And God, by the Holy Spirit, can interpret those prayers and then respond to us according to his will. So we have to trust that we may not always know what God's will is, but as we persistently pray, in time, God will reveal that to us. And we might find ourselves changing what we're praying for. We might be asking God to move this mountain, and he's telling us, no, I've got that mountain. Take a look at this valley. Here's where I want you to pray. Here's where you need to seek me. Here's where you need to ask. But at the bottom line, all God is saying when it comes to prayer is ask. You know, there's many times when I can remember our kids were little when we lived here and we'd go to the fair and you walk into the gate, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And what is the first thing they want? Cotton candy. Now, as a loving, kind, but smart dad, I'm not going to give them cotton candy at 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay, I did once in a while give them cotton candy. But you know, God just wants us to ask. He wants us to keep coming to him. We don't need to be shy. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to think that we're bothering God. But just, God, I want some cotton candy. I hear you. I know you. Maybe this time I'll give you some cotton candy. But as we continue to pray and as we continue to ask for cotton candy, God says, but I have so much more for you. So see, to be persistent in prayer is to learn how to pray according to God's will. Last week I told you I'm not a very good cook. Look at this. 1 John 5:14. No. Next. I made those. Yeah. Yeah. This past week, I actually ate them too. They were good. They weren't great, but they were good. You see, I could stand around here and say, you know what? I'm just not a good cook. But if I never engage in cooking, I'll never learn. I'll never get better. And so I just learn. I just do what I think is good and what I've seen others doing. But I will only go so far in what I call my trial and error. There's some other dishes that I've made that weren't so good. You can take away. Yeah, thank you. I'm limited in my cooking ability. So the next step probably is to take a cooking class. Maybe watch some cooking shows. But I wonder if the next step would also include maybe surrounding myself with other people in a kitchen who know what they're doing. The same is true in prayer. Now, I continue to learn and grow in my understanding of how to pray according to the will of God. And I've grown and learned because I've been persistent in prayer. I continue to pray, even when I think I'm a terrible prayer. Even when things aren't being answered in the way that I want them to, I keep coming back to God. I've also read books on prayer. I've read lots of scripture on prayer. I've read biographies about people that I consider had great prayer lives and a wonderful faith and pursued God in ways and saw things happen that I long to see happen in my own prayer life. But one of the greatest ways that I have learned to pray is by surrounding myself with those who are a little bit further along in their own prayer journey. To surround myself with people who teach me how to pray as I listen and watch them pray. But it's not about getting all the right words. It's not about making certain, you know, I'm the best, you know, prayer. It's not about having eloquent words to bring before God. It's just coming before God and talking to Him. And if we get a sense that He's not really paying attention or He's not listening to us, then maybe we surround ourselves with other people who could pray for us. And while they're praying, we'll learn and discover more that is there. In fact, in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." You see, I often think that it's not me praying to God, but God talking to me. And I can go on and give my words and say my prayers and even go through the Lord's Prayer word for word. But God is so ready for me to shut up, to be still, and now listen. Because I'm going to show you even greater things. You thought cotton candy would be the greatest thing in the world? Wait till you see what I have for you. So yeah, keep asking for cotton candy. But over time, as you ask and you seek and you knock, let me reveal to you even greater things. Things that you don't even know about. Things that you didn't realize you could receive. Things that you were afraid to ask for. And the reason God invites us to do that is our second point, is because He's a good God. We persist in prayer because God is good. We're not bothering Him. We're not pestering Him. He loves us. When children, and when they're little, tug on our pant leg And they're begging us, you know, to take them and go get the cotton candy, or they're begging us because they want that coloring book, or they're saying, you know, I want this, more please, more please. We often just pick them up, don't we? And distract them. Take them over somewhere else. But we whisper to them and say, I know you want that. I know you would love that. I know it would be the greatest thing in the world for you. I love you so much. Maybe later, but not now. But let me show you something else. Look at these fish over here. Don't we do that as parents? See, I think God has wired us as parents because we know what our children need. And sometimes we bend the rules and we give them just what they want. But in the long run, we know what will satisfy them most. Because we're good parents. And we love our children, even though at times they may think we hate them. That we give them all the bad things and we never let them have the good things. We love them. And hopefully one day when they're about 30 years old and they have children of their own, they'll call you and say, I get it. I understand. Back then, in my teens, you loved me. And I didn't think you did. That's the way it is with God. He wants us to come to Him. That's why Jesus tells this story about this traveler who shows up at a friend's house at midnight and wants some food. I don't know about you, but if I'm traveling somewhere and I get hungry at midnight and need some food, I'm not pulling over to your house and knocking on the door and asking you for anything. But back in that time, it was normal for the Israelites to travel at night to avoid the heat of the day. And one of the greatest values the Israelites had and cherished was that of hospitality. That you are always ready to welcome and receive and feed and maybe give a bed to anybody who showed up at your door, even at midnight. So it was normal. It was natural. You and I don't know if we're going to go there. I don't know if I'm going to pull over. And I might just go to a rest stop, sleep a little while, maybe get some breakfast. God wants us to know it's normal and natural to show up at midnight knocking on His door. That He's ready. He's welcome. Well, the story goes on, and unfortunately, the homeowner where this traveler went to the door and opened it and was embarrassed. It was a bit awkward. He felt ashamed because he didn't have anything to give to this friend. So he thinks, what should I do? What to do? What to do? What to do? I know. It's midnight. I'll go to my friend next door and knock on his door. I know he's asleep. I know the entire family is asleep. But I'll knock on the door. He's a friend of mine. He'll come. He'll crawl over everybody. I know it'll probably wake everybody up, including all the animals in the house. But because he's my friend, Jesus says, no, he won't. He says, just because he's your friend, he's not going to get up. He's going to say, go away. Don't bother me. My family and I are sleeping. I said, go away. Don't bother me. We're asleep. Oh, right. Finally, even though he wouldn't do it because he was a friend, but because of the persistent knocking, Jesus says he'll get out of bed, give his friend what he needs so he can go back to bed. Persistent prayer with God is not us just begging God and pleading God until finally we break him and he says, great, here, I'll give you that cotton candy, now leave me alone. That's not what he's saying. In fact, Jesus uses a lesser to greater story. He says, hey, if that friend wouldn't get out of bed for his friend knocking at the door at midnight, just because he's his friend, but he will get up because of the persistent knocking and give him what he needs, how much more is your Father going to do for you? Your God is greater than any human being, and though we may not necessarily treat each other well, and we may be a pest and a bother to one another, God says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. My door is open 24/7. And I have what you need. Trust me, I will give you not just what you want, but exactly what you need. Then Jesus tells another story. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? It's a rhetorical question. Any child of mine who wants me to cook up some fish for them instead of a hot dog, I'm going to give them fish. But Jesus is saying, well, yeah, you'd give them fish, but here's the story. The truth is you're not going to give them a serpent. And if they ask for some bread, you're not going to give them a scorpion. You're not going to give them something that will hurt them or harm them. Again, going from lesser to greater, if you as a dad, as a human being, are evil and yet still have it within yourself to give your child something that is good instead of something that is bad or harmful, if you can do it, just imagine how much more your Father in heaven is able to give you something that is good and wonderful and beautiful. In fact, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. What more could you ask for? He's going to give you of himself through the Holy Spirit, so whatever you receive from him, you will understand the goodness of God. You will understand how great God's love is for you. So we persistently pray to God, asking him for the desires of our heart, but in turn, it's God who places within us those desires that will help us understand how good and great is our God. Too many times, we don't trust in God's answers. We don't trust in his goodness. And we kind of withhold, well, God, you really probably don't want me to ask for that. I want to ask for cotton candy, but I know I should be asking for an egg. I know I should be asking for you to give me a brand new car, but I know I should be asking for just enough money to get by. And so we don't really engage our full heart with God. And God says, I'm big enough. Give it to me. I'm good enough. I love you. I'll take whatever it is that you're wanting me to receive. But be prepared for when I turn it back to you. And watch and see how good it is. You see, we might come to God and say, God, I would really like to have a loaf of rye bread. And God's thinking, well, how about a bagel? Or how about some sourdough? Not because God is cruel, not because God, you know, just doesn't want us to have our own selfish desires, but because he can't wait for us to bite into that loaf of sourdough and see the smile on our face. Because he knows ultimately not only what we need, but what is good for us. But we often just kind of, well, God, I want to ask you to tell me where to serve you and to use my gifts, but I'm afraid you're going to send me to Africa, or Ethiopia. I don't want to go there. Hawaii, on the other hand, I could be a missionary there. You know, so we're timid, we're shy, we're afraid, because we don't want the answer that we think God is going to give us. But when the answer comes to us, even if it's not that loaf of rye bread, the Holy Spirit, God says, the Holy Spirit is being given to you so that when you receive what I have to give you, it'll taste so good. You won't even think about rye bread. Unfortunately, too many times we're like Oliver in the movie with this picture. How does he look coming before Mr. Bumble? A little bit terrified, don't you think? But he's hungry. He wants some more food. And he comes before Mr. Bumble and he says those famous words, please, sir, I want some more. In fact, it's kind of like a question. If you listen to it, watch the video. It says it twice. Please, sir, I want some more. It's kind of like, I'm not ready to receive because I know what you're going to give to me. And it's not going to be good. And in fact, it kind of turns out bad for him by doing that. So it's not the best illustration. But if you watch the video, or if you go on YouTube and watch a clip of this scene, watch the entire scene, because in that dining hall, you will see a placard, a sign that says, God is love. What an irony. Because often we approach God as though he's not good, he's not loving, he's not kind, he's Mr. Bumble. And I'm really kind of afraid to ask you for what's on my heart. But the truth is, and you can take the picture away, God wants us to come to him not just to ask for what we want, but for what God wants for us. And that never, ever runs out. God will never turn us away empty-handed. So this morning, instead of coming before God with our problems, coming before him for the umpteenth time and saying, God, would you fix this? Would you change that? Would you take away this? Maybe we need to come before God and say, God, more please. More of you. More of your Holy Spirit. God, would you give me more peace, more joy? Would you give me more patience? Would you give me more hope? Would you give me more truth? Would you give me more knowledge? Would you give me more grace? So instead of coming before God and saying, God, you know my problems. You know that I get very irritated and angry and annoyed by people who are bothering me by knocking on my door at midnight. Instead of praying, God, would you get rid of that anger? Would you get rid of that that impatience inside of me? And said, God, would you give me more peace? Would you give me more gentleness? Instead of constantly coming before God and saying, you know, God, my suffering. You know my pain. You know what's going on inside of me. Would you fix it? Would you change it? Would you make all things better? Instead, we need to come before God and say, God, in the midst of that, would you give me more peace? Would you give me more hope? Would you give me more faith? You see, it might be at the beginning of learning how to pray persistently that we come before God and say, fix this, change that. But over time, as God changes our heart and as the Holy Spirit puts within us the desires God wants us to have in our heart, perhaps we'll slowly begin to say, God, I trust you with that. I trust you with this. Now give me more. Give me more of what I need at this time. So that's what I want us to do this morning. Just to be still and ask God to reveal to you whatever it is that you've been wrestling with. Maybe you've been praying for days and weeks and months and you've seen no movement. Maybe ask God to show you what he wants to give you. Ask God to show you what you need in that situation, in that place. And then just ask God for more. What do you need more of in your life right now? So would you just take time, be still, call out to God, and share your heart with him and allow him to share his heart with you. So, Lord God, you know our hearts. You know what we're asking for. Even before a word is on our tongue, you know what we need. And so wrap your arms around us, whisper into our hearts and souls, remind us that you love us, that you are a good God. Remind us, Lord, that in our asking and in our seeking and knocking, that you will answer, you will hear, you will open the door, and you will provide for us what we need in order to fulfill your will and purpose in this world. And then, Father, I pray that whatever is going on in our lives, wherever it is, we're wanting you to meet us and to change and to fix. Lord, we do trust that you are involved in that place, but that you have even more for us. So, Lord, whatever it is you want to give to us, may we receive that this morning. May we be reminded that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, that we are co-heirs with Christ, that all the riches and treasures of heaven belong to us already because of your indwelling Spirit. So help us to tap into the things of heaven, that we might know them and appreciate them and love them here on earth. I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
The text for this piece that we're going to be doing, Psalm 27, where the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom then shall I fear? That verse, and also Joshua 1:9, where as Joshua and his people were headed into the battle of Jericho, God commanded them not to fear and to be strong and courageous. And when we hear negative thoughts, it's not from God, and we really need to trust in God to carry us through. So we hope that you enjoy this piece, the Lord is my light.
That was amazing. Thank you. So before we go into the time of giving, I just want to, I can't even imagine being a visitor in this church right now. What a great welcome. So thank you, Jason. We're so glad you're back. Yeah. So in our bulletins this morning, we welcome all of you who are guests. And at the back of the sanctuary inside the garden room, you will see a welcome center. And we would love to have you stop by, pick up a packet. There's a little card in there providing coffee from our latte stand. We just want you to know that we are so glad you're here with us this morning with our church family in God's house. So want to make sure that you are aware of that. Also, I'm holding this up and I'm talking away. You will find in the bulletin also the Connect card. And we would love to have, we want everybody to fill this out so that we know that you've been here. And that also a reminder that if you have a prayer request or a praise, our church is a praying church, and we would love to be praying with and for you. So be sure to fill this out and stick it in the offering plate as it goes by this morning. The other thing that I would like to share with you before we take our offering is there's an opportunity for each and every one of you who feel called and would love to go serve in Ethiopia, Pastor Bill, there you are, with Bruce and Roseanne Bacon are hosting an informational meeting, and that's today, for a trip to Ethiopia in 2020. It says possible trip, so to visit Compassion-sponsored children. So if you happen to be a Compassion sponsor, there will be that opportunity, and Project Mercy. And then if you'd like to attend, please connect with Pastor Bill or the Bacons in the garden room following the service, if you haven't already done so. I can't imagine what that would be like if you're a Compassion sponsor to be able to meet this child that you have been sponsoring. So what an amazing gift God gives us. Also, Bill has something else on his heart that he's been wanting to do, and that is gather our men of the church together for prayer time with one another. And so he is going to hold the first prayer gathering this coming Tuesday at noon. If that's your break, lunch break, be sure to bring a sack lunch with you. And all men are invited and would love to have you come. And I think what a great opportunity for our men to come together and to pray over our church and our community and for each other. What an amazing thing. So also want to remind you that during the offertory, on our projectors, screens, you will see opportunities of areas that you can serve or participate in. We have lots of activities going on, and if you're not taking advantage of them, you want to, because it's great to be with our church family. Okay, so as the ushers come forward, let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word this morning through Bill, that you just are calling us to come to you. You want us to be persistent in prayer because you know what we need. And what a great reminder that you gave us in your word this morning. Lord, we now ask you and thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. We will just return a small portion of what you give us each and every day. And we just thank you for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a great song to end on. And now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, who is good and who delights in you, and the power and the peace and the joy, the presence of the Holy Spirit, continue to give you more and more and more, now and forever. Amen. God bless.